year and a half ago, 18 months ago, this church didn't even exist. And I had the privilege of being with Erwin Lutzer, the pastor of Moody Church, again this week, and a message that he brought had 8 different lessons to it. And the first lesson, this is what Erwin said. He said, the existence of any church should never be taken for granted. And I burst into tears because of what I had been thinking about for the past 18 months and what God had been doing here at Harvest. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. My goal here in this message is actually for us to take a little physical, you might say. Probably on an annual basis or periodically, you go and make a trip to the doctor, not because you're sick, but because you want to make sure you're healthy. And today, we're going to look into God's Word to see what are the vital signs of a healthy church. What are you supposed to check? What are you supposed to look at to determine whether this church body is healthy? And so we're going to examine it from the Scripture. We're going to look deep into the Scripture here for just a moment. And then what we're going to do is we're going to turn our attention to this local expression of the body of Christ. The Bible uses the analogy over and over of the church. It's not a building, it is a body. It's not an organization, it's an organism. It is a living, breathing entity with God as its heart. And we live in a culture, even among evangelicals, where you fight against a tide where people say things like this. You know, Jesus is cool, but the church is lame. Now, I'm a Christian, I'm just not that really into church. That's kind of like saying, I'm a football player, I'm just really not into team. Well, you're probably not much of a football player if you're not on a team. And you're probably not much of a Christian if you're not actively engaging in a church. And so as we think about the reasons why people would engage in a church, one of the reasons people don't engage in a church is because the church body that they've been attached to is not healthy. Well, I trust that today God's going to show us whether or not Harvest Granger is a healthy church. You cannot claim to receive Christ at the same time have an attitude of rejecting His church. If the church is the body of Christ, Christ is its head. You cannot embrace the head while calling the body something that's detestable to you. It's a pretty face, it's just a really ugly body. If that's your attitude, you might want to think about the fact that the head would be offended by your comment. Another analogy in the Scripture that God gives to the church is that the church is the bride of Christ. Imagine going to your best buddy's wedding and you're the best man at the wedding. You guys you share a brain. You love the same things. You've spent so much time together. And you're standing there on his wedding day as the best man and say, man, I love you, but that is the ugliest woman I have ever seen that you are about to marry. I mean, I just kind of want to throw, I just don't even want to be in the same room with her. I don't want to talk to her, I don't want to be around her. But some of you have done the same thing with the bride of Christ. You claim to love the groom, but you think his bride is ugly. And I'm here to tell you, he's offended by that because he loves his bride, the church. And so let's look at what the Scripture says here in Ephesians chapter 4 about the vital signs of a healthy church. Just 2 verses today. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. Who is it? Into Christ, from whom the whole body, who's the body? The church. You are the body. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it has been equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's just briefly kind of unpack that. There's a lot of truth there. I just want to kind of highlight a few phrases and a few words there. First of all, it says, rather speaking the truth in love. You know, we live in an age, in a culture that is intolerant to the truth. And yet it is the truth that builds the body of Christ. Any church or any church leadership team that thinks you have to somehow water down the truth in order to build up the church does not understand what Christ has said builds the body. What builds the body is the practical, unapologetic proclamation of truth in a way that communicates a passionate love for the person who is receiving the truth. That's what we try to do around here. We try to do it on Sundays in the preaching. We try to do it in the small groups. We try to do it in peak performance, the church membership class. And we try to do it with our neighbors and friends. It is a myth to think somehow you have to water down the truth so that you won't be offensive to the person so that they will somehow find their way into the church. It's a myth. It doesn't work. They might come for a while, but after a while, they're like, well, why am I coming? You're just like me. I can get the messages in this church by watching a movie. So we want to make sure the truth is being spoken in love so that what can happen? Next phrase. We grow up. As a member of Christ's body, you are to grow up. You know, I think about my children. I have wonderful children. I have to be careful. I warn them every time I say my children who are in this service, like, what is he going to say? What did we do this week? They start remembering, like, oh, were we in sermon illustration again? Well, they're not really this way. But thinking back to a child, you have children. When children are 1 year old and 2 year old, there's so much in their life that is obvious to us that needs to change, right? Like, why are you whining all the time? You cannot eat every time that you want to. You have to be on a schedule. And why are you so intolerant to pain? Have you ever seen like a two-year-old, you know, bump his elbow? And I mean, it sets off a 45-minute crying fit. You know, after the first 2 minutes, you're thinking, you don't even remember what you're crying about. The pain is gone. It's just that you have this low pain tolerance. Why? What do you want to say to those children? Parents, what do you say? Grow up! Grow up! And the same is true for a church body. We need to grow up. You know what growing up involves? It involves extracting the selfishness out of your life, right? Because children, little children, are intrinsically selfish, right? But our desire is to mature them, that they would grow up and quit thinking about themselves, look to something else outside of yourself as a purpose for living. So it's extracting selfishness, and it's learning to tolerate a little pain in life. It's realizing, hey, life's not fair, there are hurts, you don't live in a perfect family, somebody's going to insult you, somebody's going to bump up against you, somebody's going to step on your toe. Yeah, I know it's painful, but hey, grow up, get over it. Same is true in a church body. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect church members, and so we're going to bump into each other, we're going to insult each other, somebody's not going to smile at you, somebody's not going to be there for you the way that you expected them to be there. Hey, if you're grown up, you're going to learn to deal with a little bit of pain, okay? And get outside of yourself and develop some muscle. Learn to stand on your own. Learn to walk on your own. Learn to feed other people. Learn to feed yourself. That's what it means to grow up. And exercise discernment. That's the heart that we as parents have for our children. Grow up, learn the difference between right and wrong, and make right choices. The same is true for a church body. Learn some practical truth of God's word. What is it? The messages that you are confronted with on a daily basis, which ones of those are consistent with God's word? If they're not consistent with God's word, then have enough discernment to reject those things. As a matter of fact, that's the context of this passage. Look back up in verse 14. This is what he means when he says grow up. He says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. There are so many wrong philosophies and wrong theologies of inside and outside the church. But when a church grows up, it has an appreciation for the truth. It has a maturity to discern between right and wrong, not tossed to and fro by everything you hear from every TV preacher or every book you read, even if it's in the Christian bookstore. Grow up. Grow up on a spiritual level. He says to grow up in, look at the next phrase, in every way. Now, you know that around here at Harvest, we are committed to the expositional preaching of God's Word. You know what expositional preaching is? It's what I'm doing right now. It's taking a phrase of Scripture and unpacking it, making it explode so that you walk out of here with a greater understanding of what the term in every way means. Now, I got to tell you, as a preacher that's committed to expositional preacher, when I see a phrase like in every way, recognizing it's my responsibility to unpack that for you, I could get excited about that. I will resist the temptation now to explain what in every way means, okay? But here are a few ways. Understand that around here at a church, if we're going to feed you and this body's going to grow, we need to talk about some ways that the gospel impacts your marriage. We need to talk about the ways that the gospel impacts the way that we deal with finances. We need to talk about the ways that the gospel impacts our parenting, the way that it impacts our relationships at work and how we work and where we work and what we watch and who we are all about and what our purpose in life is all about. So there's a billion different ways. The implications of the gospel as we grow up in every way can mean so many things. Next phrase. Into Him who is the head. Into Christ. We're going to talk about this here in a little bit, but we need to understand something. Whenever we get our eyes off of the head and onto the body, we run a risk of losing the very heart of why we exist as a church. The body does not exist for itself. The body exists for the head. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. Into Him who is the head, into Christ, verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and held together. I was talking to somebody earlier this week. It's about a 30-year-old guy who's plugged into our church since January. And he's kind of one of these guys that he's kind of one of these cool, postmodern kind of a guy that you wonder if he's really going to like dive all into the whole church thing. If he's been maybe impacted by the idea that Christ is cool, but church is lame. And you kind of wonder. And he made a phrase to me after coming for several months. He said, Trent, it's been a long time since I've been this excited about church. And he's joined the church. How do you join the church? You join this church by, first of all, confessing Christ is Lord. You come to Peak Performance, which is our church membership class. By the way, we held Peak Performance 5 times in the course of the last 12 months. And we had 64 people, actually 69 people go through Peak Performance. 64 of them have joined Harvest Bible Chapel, which, by the way, is a 100% increase over the membership we had before this past year. How many members do we have here at Harvest Bible Chapel? Anybody know? Anybody know? We have 125 members who have actually gone through the membership process and joined Harvest Bible Chapel. You say, why is that important? Well, it's important if it's in God's Word. What was that word there in verse 16? From whom the whole body joined and held together. What's the big deal about church membership? The big deal about church membership is this. If you tried to run your marriage or your business the way that some of you try to run your relationship with this church, you would have no marriage and no business. What if you just told you, like, it's like, I don't really think we need to have like commitments to one another. I don't really think you need to have any expectation that I'm going to come home at night. You shouldn't have any expectation that I'm like going to be responsible with the finances in our marriage. What if you had business clients where you're not quite sure if the people were clients or not? Am I really expecting you to pay me because I provided a service for you? Or do we have an agreement? Do we have some type of a contract that says, you know what? I'm committed to you. You're committed to me. We are in this for the long haul. That's what church membership is all about. It's saying, hey, do you really buy into what we're talking about here? Are you really expecting us to provide some level of care and oversight and teaching and accountability for you? And are we really expecting you to plug in and say, hey, you know what? We need to expect you to kind of carry some of the weight around here. And there's stuff to be done. Are you a person that we could call and say, hey, here's an opportunity. Would you do that? Probably if you haven't joined the church, people are not expecting a whole lot of you. There's one expectation, that you would join the church so that we could expect more out of you, right? And it's just basically saying, hey, I'm in. I'm all in. When we first launched this church, before we ever had a peak performance membership class, before we ever had the first service, somebody asked the question, well, how do you join the core group? How do you join like the team that's going to launch this church? We had a little phrase. If you were in that group, what was the phrase? I'm in. You just had to come to the pastor, come to somebody and say, you know what? I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but I like what I see. I'm in. And you know what? That next week, they got all kinds of assignments. They got all kinds of responsibility. All right, you're the children's ministry director. All right, we don't have a children's ministry, but you are the director of that. Because one day we think we're going to have children come to this church. And so you got some level of responsibility. Have you joined the body? You say, well, I'm committed to Christ. I'm committed to the head. But are you committed to Christ's body? Because one of these days, you are going to need another member of this church to look at the phrase, hold you together. The implication is one of these days, you're going to be falling apart. And you're going to want to pick up a phone and call a small group leader or a pastor or a friend in this church that's prayed for you and say, I need you now. And that person's going to say, you know what? You're committed to me. I'm committed to you. We've done life together. I am there for you. That's how you build a body. Joined and held together. Look at the next phrase. By every joint. What is a joint in a body? Some of you that are getting older, you have a little joint pain. Have a little joint pain. What is that? Man, that's just the fact that that joint's been rubbing up against that same thing for years, right? A joint is an intersection point of two different members, right? Where your leg bone connects to your hip bone, that's a joint, right? Elbow, top part of your arm to bottom part of the arm, it's a joint. We got a lot of different joints around here. It's the intersection of life. We do that in our small groups. We do that on Sunday morning. We've got ministries. I'll tell you more about that here in a minute. Every joint with which it is equipped. Equipped. Some of you are getting really nervous right now because you realize I'm like going to ask you for some level of commitment. I'm going to ask you for some level of responsibility. And you say, wait, Trent. You wouldn't want me. I have no ability to do anything. Oh, is that right? I doubt that's really true. Probably somebody is paying you to do something that you have a skill with or a gift. It's probably that same area of gifting and equipping that God wants you to do something around here, but we're not going to write you a paycheck. Because the treasure's in heaven, right? And people are saying, you know what? I may not know what I'm doing, but I'm willing to be equipped in the body. Who equips the body? The head equips the body. The head gives every member a gift. You may not even know what it is. We want to help you find out what it is. And we want to attach your gift to the need in the body. Every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly. Each part is working properly. I'm looking at about 200 parts right now. There's another 75 parts over in the children's ministry. Maybe we've even got more than that. We may be close to 300 today. I'm looking at all these parts. Question is this. Are those parts working properly? Some of these parts, I could stand up here and tell you hours and hours of stories of different parts in this church that are working properly. Some of you are like, I'm not really here to work. I'm just here to kind of have people work for me. And you've appreciated the work that's gone into being, that this service has been pulled off by people because they've worked. They're working properly. We want you to work properly. Not for us, for the head. Because that's what it's all about. And what happens when all of that is happening? When each part is working properly, look at the next phrase. It makes the body what? Grow. It makes the body grow. Healthy things grow to a point of maturity so that it builds itself up. What direction does it grow? It grows up. A lot of churches are focused on growing out. We believe the church will grow out when it first grows up. Vertical before horizontal. And if we'll take care of the vertical, God will take care of the horizontal. If we get the priority right, we want to have vertical church. It makes the body grow so that it's built up, last phrase, in what? Love. Does that sound familiar? It's the bookends of this verse. We started out, speak the truth in love, and it ends up when you are a part of that kind of a church, when the church body is healthy, what happens? You don't have to force people to come to church. If this is a body that is healthy and it loves, do you know what's going to happen? We're not going to have enough room to put the people. Let me let you in a little secret. Nobody's all that excited about joining church. Even people, man, I'm just so excited about finding a church I can join. Nobody talks about that. What do they talk about? I'm just so excited about being in a church where I sense what? Love. Man, you provide a place of love and people will pack the place out. And listen, love is not this warm, squishy emotion. Love says, I'm committed to you. I'm going to speak the truth to you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to carry weight for you. I'm going to love you even when you're not so lovable. I'm going to forgive you when you hurt me. Why? Because love is the greatest thing. And so that's what we're shooting for. Listen, there has never been more of a sense of urgency than right now at this time in history, in our country, and in this Granger culture for a church that is healthy. If you look at the direction of this country, and you look at the culture and the decay of the values that we hold dear, morally, spiritually, you know this culture needs a healthy body. I would go so far as to say the only hope for this culture, the only hope for this nation is an absolute, genuine revival of a healthy church body where people take seriously their vertical relationship with God and leave the horizontal to Him. So what are these signs of a healthy church? We're going to look at four signs of a healthy church here today, taken from that passage of Scripture. And the first one, we talked about this, is what? We need to ask the question, are you growing up? If that is the sign of a healthy church, anybody have in your home, when you were growing up in your home, did your dad like to mark the wall, you know, line up the children and draw a line and put the date out beside there, and you'd come back a year later, well, looky there, you've grown 7 inches, you know, and you put the date out. Anybody remember that? Well, the same is true here. We don't have a mark on the wall, but there are some marks, there's some points where we can look at and we say, are we growing? Are we growing? Now, let's talk about what it means to grow. Now, first of all, we need to realize you don't measure growth by numbers necessarily. However, we do believe that healthy things grow, and growing up is a prerequisite before we grow out. Numerical growth is not necessarily a sign that a church is growing up. However, healthy things do multiply, and so maybe we need to ask ourselves the question, are we growing? You think we're growing? Let's think about it. How many people do you think we have in church? Let's think about August of this year. We're on the fifth Sunday of August. Previous four Sundays, if you averaged together the numbers, last year at this time, 12 months ago, the average number of people showing up at Harvest Granger, August 2009, 198 people. Just about 200. And man, we were praying for 200. Lord, send us 200. Send us some more people. Well, this past August, in the last 4 weeks at church, we've had 275 people on average here at Harvest Granger. That is about a 40% growth rate. Are we growing? Are we growing? We are growing. It's like, man, I used to have a lot more room to kick out my feet in front. Who are these people showing up? What are they doing here? It's like, we're praying. God's growing. We're growing up, and we're beginning to grow out. Now, you may not be very impressed with that, but let's think about the future. Okay? What if we continue to grow at a 40% growth rate? How many will we have next August if we continue the trend that we're on? Well, next August, we would have 382 people in here, which just happens to be the fire code limit of this room, okay? All right, now that'd be cool, 382. If you show up, you're the 383rd person. Sorry, you have to go to some other church today, okay? It's like, it'd be a motivation to get you here on time, wouldn't it, okay? That'd be great, 382 people. What if we continued to grow at another 40%? 2 years from today, how many people could we expect in church? Well, 530, okay? Now listen, what do they say at the end of those investment commercials? It's like, past trends are no indication of future growth. So, we're not saying that this is going to happen, but we do believe we want to be a healthy church. If we keep doing the things we're doing now, we might want to expect some growth. And that might mean that we need to plan differently because we're not going to get 530 people in this room. So where are we going to go? I don't know. That's the great thing about planning, is like God's just going to show up and provide that thing. And by the way, probably the most often asked question I get about this church is, what about a building? What about a facility? Where you're going to meet in the school? The school's been very gracious to us. They continue to renew our request to be here, and they've even opened up some more rooms for children. We're just so grateful. If you ever see anybody from this church, please hug them, throw money at them, take them to dinner, whatever, because this is a great facility. It really is. We're able to do a lot of cool stuff here. 4 hours on a Sunday morning. And we need to think about other things. But listen, do you know what? Probably the thing that could kill our growth the most is by getting so focused on a building or a facility and say, if we only had a building, we could grow so much. How many churches in this nation have a building and a lot of assets and maybe even a pile of money in the bank? But the presence of God is not there. The growth is not seen. And so listen, forget the building. God will provide the building in his timing exactly when he wants it. And it's going to be a miracle, and we don't have enough money to pay for it. And so God's just going to have to throw it at us, okay? And it'll be obvious when it comes, right? So that's the way you need to pray. Something else here interesting about our growth is this. How many of you have children? Raise your hand. In Higher Ground Children's Ministry? Okay. There's been a little growth happening in there as well. How many children did we have last August? On average, we had 42 people, 42 little people behind these walls being ministered to by various children's workers. Now, this month has been a little different. It's been the average of 71 children. That's a 70% growth rate, which means if that continues to happen, next year we're going to have 120, and the year after that we have 202. Some of you who work in Higher Ground Children's Ministry are going to resign now because I told you that. And it's like, we can't handle the ones we have now. The reason we can't handle the ones is, did you know this? It takes 75 committed, dedicated parts of this body to pull off what we do in children's ministry every month in those children's ministry classes, okay? So 75 slots a month are available. We'd like to ask our children's workers, we just want you to serve once a month. The other times we want you in church getting fed, okay? And so if everybody did that once a month, we'd need 75 people to pull off children's ministry. Currently we have 57, which means there are 18 people out there that need to work properly in a place and get a burden. And when you're working in children's ministry, I know what you're thinking. It's like, changing a diaper or, teaching a table or, I just don't really get into the kids. What you need to understand is you are not just serving in children's ministry. You are building up the body of Christ. Because while you're doing that in there, it allows people in here to be fed and to grow up spiritually. You see how it works together? It all works together. Now, that's just today. If we continue to grow, we're going to have problems unless we have more people join. Now, it's interesting here. We only have 125 members of the church. 57 of them are serving right now. Some of them doing double duty twice a month, three times a month. We need some help in there. Just another place where you can carry the burden of children's ministry. Try to combine the words carry and burden in one word and you just bury the children's ministry right there. We don't want to do that, okay? Are you growing? Are you growing up? Well, there's a lot of different things going on. Listen, we're a part of a great network of churches. Some of you are just now plugging into Harvest Granger and you're not aware of Harvest Bible Fellowship, of which we are a part. February the 8th, 2009, we became the 37th church plant of Harvest Bible Fellowship. Since our church has been planted, there have been 9 other churches planted all over the world. Now there are about 46 Harvest Bible chapels. And before the end of the year, from now until December, 19 more Harvest Bible chapels are going to be planted. Would you like to know where they are? Austin, Texas, Calgary, Alberta, Nevada, Ohio, Texas, Colorado, Ontario, California, Illinois, Kansas, Virginia, Michigan, Illinois, Liberia, and the Caribbean. Anybody want to go plant that church? Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm feeling called to St. Vincent. Yeah. Well, listen, it's a great privilege to be a part of what Harvest is doing. Hey, I want to show you a little video here. I've shown this once before in church. If you've been to Peak Performance or party with the pastor, you've seen this here. But I want you to get excited about what God's doing as part of our broader family here, because we're not only growing locally, we're growing internationally. Watch this. excited about church when you see that? It's like, I am a part of something so much bigger than myself. And who knew? I didn't even know where North Point Elementary School was. I didn't even know what a harvest was or what a Trent was or a small group was 18 months ago. God is doing incredible things. We never need to take that for granted. I trust that when you see stuff like that and when you hear stuff like what's going on at Harvest Granger, your heart leaps with gratitude. Well, when you go into a physical to find out whether your body is healthy, there's another question the doctor sometimes will ask, and it's this: how's your diet going? Let me just ask you that. Respond. How's your diet going? Grumble, grumble, grumble. Well, listen, around here we think that a body grows when it's fed properly. And the Bible tells us here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, what you're supposed to feed a growing body. What is that word? Starts with a T. Truth. And so we've been trying to feed you some truth. Hey, by the way, I forgot to tell you this, but I want to remind you of this. Some of you know this, but what God is doing at Harvest Bible Fellowship and church planting all over the world, you're a part of it. You say, well, I've never been to Romania. I've never been to Liberia. I've never been to Prescott, Arizona. How can I be a part of that? Did you know that if you put $100 in the offering, five of those dollars go toward church planting? 5% of everything that comes in here, we send right back out to plant another church. And so when you are giving toward not just what God's doing here at Granger, but what God's doing all over the world through Harvest. You can know that your dollars are being spent well. How's your diet? We are feeding truth around here. If you've been around here for the last 18 months and you've been coming to church every Sunday, you've heard some truths about growing green grass. How to have a great marriage from your side of the fence, and God wrote a book, and Making Harvest Your Home. Hey, by the way, on Making Harvest Your Home, I've talked to so many people that have joined the church, and we're kind of starting a new small group, and I went around this week and just kind of said, hey, how'd you hear about Harvest? When did you first come to Harvest? And so many people have told me, it's like, you know, we were just kind of shopping for churches, and our first Sunday here was like on January 17th of 2010, and that's when you started this series called Making Harvest Your Home. And it was like, it just kind of was obvious to us. God wanted us to make Harvest our home. And so we may need to go back and do that series again. We're glad that they've made Harvest their home. Seven I Am statements of Jesus. Everything you need, I am. Just Jesus. We walk through the Gospel of John, and God is so good. 47 verses in Nahum. And we found out the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who take refuge in him. And then we just finished talking about what it means to be simply saved. And so we're trying to feed some truth around here. And we're believing that God's going to allow his word to feed and fertilize the soil and grow up the body. How's your diet? Here's another question the doctors will ask. Are you exercising? How's it going with your exercise plan? How's it going? Right. Well, listen, how do you exercise being a part of God's body? It's real simple. You don't just come and sit and listen. You exercise. And the word in the scripture here that indicates the exercise is simply this. It's love. You do all of this in love. What motivates you to get out of bed and be here on a Sunday morning? It's because I love to be a part of what God's doing. What motivates you to serve in a children's ministry or lead a small group or serve on the setup team? It's because we love seeing God work. We love Jesus as our head, and our love translates into action. Exercise, movement, expending energy, some sweat is involved. And when you do that, it builds muscle, doesn't it? And it keeps off fat. And we don't want a fat church. We want a strong church. We need to exercise. So here's some commitments I want to ask you to make here as we close, okay? So five things. I want to introduce something that's so exciting, okay? I want to let you know that in 2 weeks is the beginning of our ministry year kickoff. It's the Sunday following Labor Day. Next weekend is Labor Day weekend, okay? Now, I hesitate to even ask what some of you are going to do on Labor Day. I don't care what you do on Labor Day. But if you're in town the day before Labor Day, we have church in this building at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning, okay? And we want you here. Bring your family, okay? Don't see Labor Day as a time to not labor for the Lord. Let your labor not be in vain. Come and build the body on Labor Day weekend. But following Labor Day weekend is our ministry year kickoff. And I want you to hear me. I want this body to be as excited building as much momentum toward that day, September the 12th, as there was around here among the launch team that launched this team on February the 8th, 2009. This message and what we're doing right now is we just looked in the rearview mirror, okay? Yay, God did some awesome things. From this point on, we are looking forward, okay? And it's all going to kick off on September the 12th. I want you to do everything you can to get here and to bring as many people as possible on September the 12th. If it doesn't happen next weekend, that's going to be our first day over 300, okay? There were 297 people here. There was 291 people here the last 2 weeks. Let's make it 300 next week, but please don't disappoint me on September the 12th. We're going to absolutely explode, okay? And you know what we're going to do on September the 12th? We're going to do the same thing we're doing today. We're going to open the Bible. We're going to explain its meaning. We're going to trust God to work. We're going to pray the presence of God's going to fall and change our lives so that we'll walk out of here as a stronger body, reflecting on the head, okay? But September the 12th, kick off huge momentum season. Everybody's back in school. Rhythms start to, you know, work back into a weekly routine. Church can become a part of what's going on in your life. I want you to make this fall a year of change. Starting on what day? So this is what I want you to do. Because we're going to do what we do in love, here's five ways to love this church. Here's five ways to love Jesus. Here's five ways to love other people that need to be in this body. I want you to invite some people to come. Inviting people just simply means I am going to make my life a bridge or a pathway from this culture to the gospel. I got people in my neighborhood. I got friends that my kids go to school with. I've got family that's nearby. I've got people that are, you know, in some lame, dead church. They're not getting fed. It's not growing up. We need to invite them to be exposed to the gospel so they can build themselves up in love here at Harvest Granger. I want a commitment from you to do that, and we're going to help you do it. You noticed in your bulletin, if you happened to pick one up on the way in and opened it up, there's a little card in there. Everybody take that out. See that little card right there? I'm getting ready to unveil to you something that we've spent a lot of time on around here, designing something to help get the word out about what God's doing at Harvest Bible Chapel Granger. Starting September the 12th, we are going to introduce our theme for the year, which is Christ at the core. Not just on the margins, but in the very center of our thinking, at the very center of our lives. We're going to unpack that here, and we have printed a stack of these. As you leave here today, we have bundled them together in groups of 10. Everybody needs to walk out of here at least with one pack of 10. Your assignment, hand all of those out this week. Come back next week, we'll hand you another pack of 10. Okay? Get the word out. There's a lot of ways we can get the word out. We're working on another radio ad. Pretty soon you're going to hear on the radio another great ad inviting people to come and be a part of what God is doing at Harvest Granger. But the most effective means of getting the word out is when you look somebody eyeball to eyeball and say, I love you. I want God to work in your life. Why don't you come worship with me at Harvest Bible Chapel? We're talking about Christ at the core of our lives. What's that about? I don't know yet, but Pastor Trent's going to start unpacking it on September the 12th, and we want to be a part of it, okay? And so for the next 2 weeks, you got 2 weeks to get this done, September the 12th, we're going to start unpacking it. Invite, serve. Now listen, I don't want anybody to walk out of here feeling guilty because you're not working in children's ministry, okay? But if God is stirring your heart about stepping up to the plate and saying, you know, the next part of my maturity, the next part of my growth in Jesus and growing up is taking some weight and building this body through loving children. You may have never spoken to a child. It's okay. You don't have to. You can speak to the parents that are bringing the children, and you can hand it off to somebody that knows what they're doing with the child, okay? We'll train you, we'll help you, but we need you to say, hey, I'm about building the body, and that's just kind of the big hole right now that we need more people serve in. You can serve in other ways as well. Pray. I want to call you as a church to begin to pray for the growth of this body. And one of the things that we're going to do starting on September the 12th is we're going to have a week of prayer. September the 12th, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, Saturday night. Every night that week, there's going to be a different prayer meeting somewhere in this community hosted by someone in this church. You don't have to come to all of them. You can, but I want everybody to come to at least one of them. It's going to begin at 7 o'clock on those nights. Find one of those. We'll give you the addresses and all the different things that you need to get there. But we want to call you to pray that week. If you're in a small group, that week, no small group, you can take your small group to a prayer meeting. That's what we're going to do September the 12th and through that week. Invite, serve, pray, obey. What has God said do? Do that. What has God said stop doing that? Stop doing that. It's that simple, okay? Practical application of God's word. If you come and you get fed and you don't go exercise, you get fat. If you come and get fed and go exercise, you get strong. That's the difference. We don't want a fat church, we want a strong church. And finally, give. Money. In case you were wondering, okay? Your time, your talents, yeah, do that. Some of us need to step up to the plate in the area of giving and investing in what God's doing here, okay? Now, that's all I'm going to say about that, because next week, that's what we're going to talk about, is money. All right? You see, that's why I'm not going to have 300 here next week. It's because we're going to talk about money, all right? And we're going to talk about what God wants us to do with our money. Because what you do with your money is the most tangible indication of what's going on with your heart. And if this body's going to be strong, the heart's going to have to be strong. So next week we're talking about the heart of the body, all right? Let me ask you to bow your heads. I want to talk about one more sign of growth, one more vital sign. Sometimes we need to check our vision. What's our vision? Now listen, we've spent a lot of time talking about the body here today, but please, please, please don't go out of here with the body central to your vision. You know what your vision needs to be on? Your vision needs to be on the head. Jesus is the head of the church. I want you to walk out of here grateful for what he is doing in this body. You don't feed your body, exercise your body, and then go stand in the mirror and admire the body. You go out of here allowing the body to serve the head. The body takes the head so that the head can communicate. Get your vision on Christ. He's beautiful. You don't love your church for what the body can do for you. You don't love your church for the programs. You don't love the church for its leaders. You love the church for its head. It's all about Christ. So Jesus, we want to walk out of here, first of all, thanking you for what you've done in the past. You truly have done awesome deeds for which we are grateful. And we don't take it for granted that there is a church in Granger that's 18 months old, staggering around, trying to get its legs, trying to get our vision right, trying to feed the right stuff. God, it is because of you, and so for that, we give you glory. It is not about the pastor. It is not about the leadership team. It is not about the elders. It is about you. And so, God, we ask you, keep doing it. Would you prevent us from being self-consumed, being self-focused? We want you, Jesus, at the core of our lives. I pray that you would grant more and more people a heart for the head and a heart for harvest. It's not to us that belongs the glory. It is to you and you alone. Let me invite you to stand together. Let's sing. He is the one to whom the glory belongs. All praise and honor and glory belongs to him for what he's doing.